Well, good morning again, church. Matthew chapter 10, please. On Wednesday night, we took a little detour from our study on the fundamentals of the faith, and we talked about Moses' encounter with the burning bush. Some of you are familiar with the story. The Lord appeared to Moses in this burning bush, and God gave Moses a promise, because Israel had been in bondage in Egypt for close to 400 years. And God says, I heard their cry, and I'm going to deliver them. With which I'm sure Moses was excited to hear. I'm sure Moses says, go get them, God. Go take care of them. Go deliver them. And then God turned right around and told Moses, but I'm going to use you. And Moses was like, I can't even talk. And he had his list of excuses. When God came and put Esther in a position of opportunity to combat Haman's evil plan to destroy the people of Israel, Mordecai came to Esther and told Esther, you're in the place, the right place. And Esther was afraid of her own physical well-being. One wrong step and the king could have had her put to death. And Mordecai reminded her that you're in this place for such a time as this. Then we see in the book of Judges, chapter 6, how God met Gideon. Now Gideon was hiding as he was threshing the wheat. Threshing was the wheat, was preparing it to be used. And he was hiding because the enemy had come and they would come in and take the crops. And so God met Gideon right there in his hiding place. And he says, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon must have looked around like, who are you talking to? He says, wait a minute. Don't you know who I am or who I'm not? I'm not valiant. I'm not a hero. I'm of the least of the tribes, and in that tribe, my family is the least, and in my family, I'm the least of the least of the least. So I'm not a hero. God says, I need you to go deliver the people of Israel from their enemy. So Gideon finally gets together 32,000 men to go up against the enemy. And God says, no, I don't think so. That's too many people. So Gideon figures out how to cut the number. So 22,000 leave, and he still has 10,000. So Gideon is kind of, okay, he's a little shaken, but I think we... And God says, uh-uh, that's too many people. Finally, Gideon is left with 300 men to go against this powerful army. God says, that's right. That's the right amount. And each of these stories, God comes, God calls, God sends, and God delivers. And that's the story of each of you believers. God called, God wants to send you, and God will deliver you. God has called us to go and free our family and our friends and our neighbors from the bondage of Satan, from the grips of sin and the coming judgment. And he gives us the power in which to do it. He empowered Moses to get up and go up against the strongest man in the world, Pharaoh, of the known world at that time. And he got Pharaoh to do what God wanted. God used Moses to get Pharaoh to do what he wanted, to let his people go. He got Esther to go into the king's throne room and to ask and to bring to his attention what evil Haman had planned. And God delivered. Gideon was able to overcome this army with only 300 men. Friends, God is calling us so that we might go. Some of you will go near, and some of you will go far. But I'm here to say and remind us that every convert is a disciple, and every disciple is a disciple maker. There's no shortcutting that. There's no saying, well, time out, I'm going to stop at being a disciple. Or I just want to get out of hell. No, there is no time out. There is no time for us to waste. God is saying, you're a convert, henceforth you're a disciple, and a disciple is a learner. And as a learner, we need to go out and make disciples. Some of you will do it one-on-one. Some of you do it in a small group. Some of you may even be called to do it to larger groups. But every convert is a disciple, and every disciple is a disciple maker. Amen? You're awful quiet. Or were you lying when you sang that last song? Yeah. Didn't we sing, Lord, that you would give us faith that is beyond borders, that will trust you wherever I go? Didn't we say, take me deeper than my feet would ever wander? And there my faith will what? Will be made stronger. Paul tells Timothy, he did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of one of power and of love. Friends, if any time needs the power of God, it's today. And God is going to use you. But I'm nobody. I'm the least of the least. All right, Gideon. See what God did with Gideon? But I don't know how to speak. All right, Moses. Oh, but I'm afraid of my circumstance. All right, Esther. And yet, what do we see at the bottom line of the stories? God delivered, right? To be God be the glory. I'm not up here because I'm the sharpest tool in the shed or I'm the most eloquent in speakers. I'm only here because God has put me here. Matthew chapter 10. Oh, before we go there, what did we talk about last week? The end of chapter 9, right? And God said to his disciples, look, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore what? Pray or beseech the Lord. Pray. I like the word beseech. It sounds a little bit more urgent, a little bit more gonganas, right? Pray for the Lord of the harvest that he would what? Send workers. How many of you prayed that prayer this week? That's a prayer we need to pray every day. But I want to warn you, because now he says to his apostles, pray that he would send workers. And now in the beginning of chapter 1, but I'm going to send you. Maybe that's why you're afraid to pray that prayer. Because God is going to call you to do it. Years ago, one of the ladies came to me and said, Pastor, we need a woman's Bible study. Amen. You're going to start it, right? She never came to talk to me about anything else. It's real easy for us to say somebody else should do it. But if God put the burden on you, get going. Five things I wanted to see to keep in mind as we go. Okay? Because the series are on following Jesus, on discipleship, okay? And the first one is go with authority. If we're going to go in the name of God to be from a convert to a disciple to a disciple maker, we need to go with authority. And we don't talk a lot about in our circle of conservative churches, but God has given us authority. Okay? Now, let me tell you something about this passage. He is speaking specifically to the 12 here. And he's telling them specific things that he wants them to do. Okay? These aren't specific things that he wants us to do, but here in this the passage, the idea here is found in verse 1. Jesus summoned his 12 and gave them authority. And authority is simply power to act. Okay? So he gave them authority to go out there. Now, why did he tell them to go out and over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness? First of all, he was giving them credibility that they were there in God's name because of the power in which they had. We have authority of the Word of God. We have the authority of the commands from Jesus. Because if Jesus tells us to do something, doesn't he give us the power to act on that? Yes or no? And so Jesus says, go with authority. Go with authority. Don't be ashamed. Don't be fearful. Why are you here if they were asked? And when Moses was asked, Moses asked God, he says, who do I say sent me? When Pharaoh says, and God told him, say, I am sent you, which is a technical name for God. He is the existent one, the always existent one. No beginning, no end. And he says, go in my name is what he's saying. In fact, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, what? It'll be given to you. Because in his name we have authority. So now God is telling us, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me. Jesus is reminding them, I am God, all authority has been given to me. I have the authority to send and to hold and to clean and to fix and to bring judgment. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He says, now, sometimes we get the command wrong in this verse, okay? The command isn't what we think it is. The command is not to go. It says, go therefore. The command is make disciples. So in authority, Jesus is saying, Michelle, go make disciples. James, go make disciples. Tori, go make disciples. And those of you who think you're hiding in the back, he's telling you, go make disciples. Go make disciples. I'm giving you the power to do so. I'm enabling you to do so. Now, we're going to look at in a week or two about the training, the development, and all that stuff that we need to go. But I'm simply here to say to you that we have the power to act upon what God is saying, go make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples. Every convert's a disciple, and every disciple is a disciple maker, right? So God is calling each and every one of us to make disciples. How do we make disciples? Well, as you go, baptizing and teaching. Those are the things that are covered here, that God gives us authority. He gives us authority to go and speak. He gives us authority, just like when the apostles were taken prisoners. And they said, I understand what you're telling me not to speak, but I answer to a higher power. And if God asks me to speak, I have to speak. God has given us authority. He tells us, go there with that authority. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid to speak the word of God. He tells us in Acts chapter, and I'm sorry. Look with me to Titus chapter 2, please. Titus chapter 2. I'm getting ahead of myself. I guess I'm a little excited today. He's just talked about looking for our blessed hope in verse 13, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. He gave himself to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. These things speak and exhort and reprove with what? All authority. And let and what's the last part of that verse? Let no one despise you or disregard you. Don't let nobody write you off. Go with authority. But the great thing is not my authority. I am not sending you. God is sending you. And if God is sending you, he gives you the power to act. You know, sometimes we take that authority issue a little wrong. Well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. No, no, no. We had that happen some years ago. I was trying to get over to Cuba with one of our missionaries. And when I spoke to him about it, he said, the group that just went before us kind of messed things up. They went in and did whatever they wanted to do. They didn't use any wisdom in trying to work with the freedoms that they had down there with the gospel. Friends, sometimes we as Christians think, oh, I can just do whatever I want to do. No, let's use wisdom. But the reality is, you have authority. When you're speaking to somebody about sin, you're speaking with authority. When you're talking to somebody about healing, you're talking with authority. When you're talking about somebody about comfort, about peace, about joy, you speak with authority. Why? Because it's God's word that comes with authority. And His word, and He gives you the power to act. Friends, you know, again, and I know it's hard. I know it can be difficult. I know taking those first steps is not easy. I know because I walked those same steps that you're afraid to take. But when you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, I remember there were times that Steve Valencia and I would go visiting years ago. There were nights, man, I just didn't feel like going, or he didn't feel like going. And you know what? We just sucked it up and went. And those were some of the more fruitful nights that we had on a visit. Fruitful nights. Why? Because we put ourselves aside and said, God, whatever you want, your will be done. Can we go with authority, the power to act, with the confidence? What is he saying in Zechariah 4:6? But by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Isaiah says about God's word that it goes out and doesn't return void. It goes out to do exactly what God has called it to do. So when we come, we simply give the word and let God do the work, right? And that's the power in which we can go with the confidence and with the assurance. When one of my Bible classes, we had to do visitation. And I went with this guy, Mike. And we went up into the Pico Aliso Village over there where Dolores Mission is. Really gang-infested area. And I'm like shaking my head. You know, I grew up in East L.A., but I don't walk in the projects at night. Mike got out of the car, and like he owned the place. He walked with confidence, knocked on the door, said, is your mom home? No. Is your dad? Is another adult home? No. Okay, we'll be back another day. And we walked right back out. With confidence. Why? Because he was there as an authorized agent of God to bring the gospel. You know, we hear a lot of stories about this young man who went to this tribe and he was killed. Say the young man was crazy. Well, what about the guys who went down to Ecuador some years ago? They thought they were crazy for going there. And they got killed. But Elizabeth Elliot went back, and before you knew it, the tribe started to come back, come to Christ. Why? Because some people went in the authority of God, took a risk like Esther, and trusted God to bring deliverance in the big picture. So, well, Pastor, I don't want to die. Well, we're all going to die, right? Go with authority. Go with focus. Number two. Come back with me to Matthew chapter 10, please. Go with focus. Look what he says, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. What do you mean focus? It sounds kind of like God's cheating everybody else. No, God had a purpose. God had a focus for them. He said, I need you to stay in this area, because part of this was training for the disciples. Part of this, he was sending them out on-the-job training, as it were. Okay? But the idea here is go to the specific people group. Go here and minister to this group of people. You know, a lot of times we just want to go out and throw the seed wherever. Friends, sometimes, and I know some of you are anti-gun, but let me use a gun illustration. Sometimes we need a rifle with a scope to shoot a single shot, then a shotgun that sends, sprays the bullets everywhere, or pellets everywhere. But what God is saying here, pray and go to that group of people. Maybe it's a family friend. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe God has impressed you in your heart about somebody that you need to go reach. Maybe God is talking to you through the scriptures and through the encouragement of others, through circumstances. A pastor that I met, he was pastoring up in Alhambra. I think it was First Baptist of Alhambra. And he had gotten a call that a neighbor had been in the hospital. And so he went off somewhere to a meeting, and on the way back, it was really late. But God impressed on him that he needed to go visit this neighbor. So he called his wife. He said, "Hey, babe, is she still in the hospital?" "Yeah, she's in the hospital, this hospital, blah, 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 blah." So he went and he visited with her and he talked to her and he shared the gospel. As he walked in the door, he says, "Pastor." And he's like, "You didn't even see me yet. How'd you know it was me?" "Because I've been praying for somebody to come, for God to send me a pastor to come and talk to me." Well, he led her to Christ that night. They got a call the next morning. She passed away in her sleep. Friends, when God impresses you to go talk to somebody, go talk to them. When somebody comes to mind, pray for them. When somebody, it's like, I don't know if you've ever done this. You know, and I'm not trying to scare you or anything, but, you know, somebody will come to mind during the week, and man, they're in church on Sunday. And somebody else another week, I hadn't seen them for a while, so somebody comes to my mind, "Lord, you know what's going on in their life," and bam, they show up on Sunday. Like, okay, this works. Maybe I should do more of this. Maybe I should think more about more people. But see, he sent them out after instructing them. Friends, who's God sending to you? Who's God impressed on your hearts? He said, "But you, when you receive power from the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the world." Has God called you to leave? Has God called you to prepare as a missionary? Has God maybe said, "You know, you need to get involved in a short-term mission"? Hey, you know what, maybe, and you know, our church at one time sent out 3 or 4 different missionaries. The Goodmans, the Scovilles, two families that I'm aware of, and a host of others who went on a lot of short-term missions. But friends, are you ready to go with focus, with an intention of teaching them, of sharing the gospel? You know, and I know, I could talk sports all, I try to keep up with enough sports so I could talk to a lot of you. And those of you who don't like sports, I don't talk to you about sports. We'll talk about something else. But friends, do we get to the gospel? Turn with me to Acts chapter 16, please. Verse 16:6. And we'll pick up the pace a little. Verse 6, this is Paul on a missionary journey. He's out there with Timothy. He says, "They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were there trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when he had this vision," or the vision, "immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." See, this idea of going with focus is going with sensitivity to the Spirit's leading. To go where God has called you. And you know, many of us aren't going to be called to foreign missions. Because we have a mission field here. And maybe it's just going across the street. Maybe it's just going down the block. Maybe it's as you're out on a neighborly walk. How many of you walk your neighborhood and say hi to people and talk with people and build a connection so you can share the gospel with them? Go with focus. Come back with me to Matthew so we can see the third one. Go with gospel urgency. Go with gospel urgency. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying what? Is at hand. That's a sense of urgency. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Romans 13 says, do this now. Do this knowing that the time is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. In other words, friends, wake up. Wake up. There's an urgency. There's a message that needs to be given. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. The promise is He will return. But until He returns, we're to be doing what? Staying busy. Being good stewards of all that He's given to us. Our time, our talents, our efforts. Go with gospel urgency. Have you had that sense of urgency? I spent 3 weeks in Chicago. There was an urgency for me to go and encourage my brother to walk with the Lord. I had an opportunity to go to Albuquerque on several different occasions. Why? For funerals. Don't they have pastors? Evidently they don't. But they've asked me to go speak. Why? Because there's an urgency for me to go. I'll pay $300 to go preach the gospel to 100 people. Doesn't matter. There's no expense. I'm not worried about the expense because God will take care of me. But there has to be an urgency in us to go take the gospel. Because he says, in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells the Corinthians, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Make it right with God. Find forgiveness, find deliverance, find the joy of salvation. But you need to do it today. Don't wait. I would be lying if I said I never waited. There have been times I waited too long. Somebody passed away. And that I am guilty of. But I can't let that happen anymore. Or ever again. When God puts a call on us. But let me say something. I'm going to be straight out honest with you. Don't just ask one of the elders to go and you haven't gone. Don't just ask me to go if you haven't been willing to go. And all too often I've done that. Okay, I'll go see him. Without saying, have you gone? Have you called? Why don't you go with me? Because it's all of our responsibility, isn't it? Aren't we a family? And as a family, we look out for each other. It's not just my job. Now, again, I'm not trying to get out of my responsibility. I am called to shepherd. I am, and the elders are called to shepherd and to overlook and to care for and to love. But friends, we can't just pass that on. Or pass it off, I should say. But there are times, I'll be honest, there are times that you have talked to somebody and you've taken them as far as you can go and they have questions or things that they are asking you you're not sure with. Hey, I'll help you. I'll go with you. I'll walk alongside with you. One of the elders will go with you. But friends, we can't just sit back and say, oh, well, let me make a call. We'll get one of the elders to go see. No. You go. Or I'll go with you. How about that? What happened? I can't hear you. Nobody wants to get up and go? But see, we're called to be disciple makers. And you know what? It's hard. It is. It's hard. But thank God we don't live in 0-degree weather. We don't live in 10 feet of snow. We don't have to fight the elements to get to the hospital to visit somebody. On the Saturday before Resurrection Sunday, that's May 20th, the churches in Pico, some of the churches in Pico are doing an outreach at Pico Park. And I've been asked to help train the counselors after the altar call is made. How many of you are willing to get in there and involve with me on that? We're going to do like we did last year. We had a cotton candy machine at our booth to draw the kids in. They're going to have child evangelism there who are going to give gospel messages to the kids. They're going to have a drama. They're going to have I don't know if you're familiar with some old-timer named Willie G. From the old days. He's going to come and bring his gospel music. And an altar call is going to be made. And I'm responsible in helping train those workers to go. And we're going to need some bilingual workers, too. Are you in with me? Are you in? Oh, we'll pray for you, Pastor. Go have a good time. No. Are you in with me? April 20th. Why? Because there's an urgency for our neighborhood, our community. But what's our church going to get out of it? You know what? It doesn't matter. We're worried about the kingdom. There's times we just need to be worried about the kingdom. Third step. You know, we don't get ladies coming here because of third step. But we're about the kingdom, right? Because there's a gospel urgency. This is the vineyard that God has given us to tend. Let's tend to it. If we get people to grow our church, fine. If we don't, and they're growing and going somewhere else, as long as they're going to a Bible-believing church that preaches the Word of God, I'm excited. Because other good churches are not our competition. Our competitor is who? I don't want to say his name. Point number four, Matthew chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 9. Go in faith. Go in faith. Go with authority. Go with focus. What was the last one? Gosh. With urgency. Go in faith. Verse 9. Jesus sends them out. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or a bag for your journey or even two coats or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. Trust me. Trust me for this. But look with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, please. Verse 22:35. Look what Jesus asked them. When I sent you out without money, belt, and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you? And they said, no, what? Nothing. And he said to them, but now whoever has a money belt is to take it along. Likewise also a bag. And whoever has no sword to sell it his coat and buy one. Friends, if God sends you without, go in faith that he will provide. If he sends you with, go in faith that he will continue to provide. But the reality here is we can't let money or resources stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Hudson Taylor, he was the one who brought, who did a great work in China, and who has continuing results because of what he did in China. He said that God's work done for God's glory will not lack God's supply. And when we do it for God's glory, he will always provide. He will always take care of us. You know, sometimes, I don't have everything I need until I go. You know, when I travel, I always take too much clothes. I always take too many bags. I took two bags with me to Chicago. Actually, three in my backpack. I was getting on the train. I had gotten off the Amtrak. I was in Central Station, Grand Union Station there in Chicago. And I was getting on the commuter train. It's kind of like our Metrolink. And I was going with my bags. A young lady says, sir, do you need help? I got it. But thank you. And another young lady, she held the door open for me because of the way the commuter trains are. And I think, man, am I looking that old? Maybe I should have left the bag at home, but sometimes God says, leave everything and go. Sometimes he says, take this and go. But are we willing to trust him as we, you know, there was Russell's Bakery over here. She closed on Sundays. El Camino Grill on Workman Mill, they close on Sundays. Chick-fil-A closes on Sundays. Why? Because they want to honor God. You know, on Sundays, man, that's a big money day for restaurants, right? Big money day for a bakery. But they're willing to set aside Sunday for the Lord. Friends, are we willing to go in faith? He'll take us beyond borders when we trust him to provide for us. If you read with us the biography this past summer, isn't that awesome? How, yeah, he had very little to eat, but he ate and he gave away. Young couples, before you get too far down the road, don't buy too much stuff. Sarah and I, when we first got married, she moved in with me with a couple of trash bags full of clothes. And we moved to our first little house with a station wagon. Then we moved to our next one, our apartment in a van. And then the next one, we had a little small steak bed. The last time we moved, we had three of those big Penske trucks full of stuff. Jason's here. The other kids aren't here. When we die, whatever you guys want to do. The fifth one is this. Go to those who are receptive. Verse 11. In whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it's not worthy, take your blessing of peace. Take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of the house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it's more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. He's simply saying this. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Go to those who are receptive. When I was at the Postal Service, I was on graveyard shift, and at break time, there were a couple guys that were there on the swing shift, and one was a Jehovah's Witness, and the other one was a Christian. And back and forth, every break time, they were back and forth. And unfortunately, the sad part about that was people around, see, that's why I don't want to talk religion. That's why I don't get involved. That's why I don't go to church, because nobody can agree. And that was kind of a fallout. Well, the Christian bid it out. He was going to another facility. He tried to hand that mantle off to somebody else. Conlin. Conley said, nah, that ain't my calling. See, friends, when somebody doesn't want to hear, now, some mission fields are harder than others. We never give up praying. George Mueller prayed. He prayed almost 40 plus years for one of his friends who didn't come to Christ until after Mueller's funeral. I'm not saying give up on people, but I'm saying there's receptive people out there. Look for them, pray for them, seek them, give them the gospel, walk with them, work with them, love them. You know, you will see the Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on doors in Boyle Heights. And you know what they stayed? They stayed wherever there was an open door. Friends, when God opens a door for us, let's stay, let's knock, let's visit. You know, Paul in Acts 16, he finds Lydia. And she was receptive. Now, she was a well-to-do woman, a businesswoman in the community. And there were contacts there. And they worked it. They went into Corinth, and he stayed a year and a half. They went into Ephesus. And why? Because the door was open. They stayed over 2 years. Friends, go to those who are receptive. You have friends who are receptive, right? They listen to you. They encourage you. They're open to receive your word. I know I think it was John MacArthur who said he was home, he was on a flight, and he had a lot of work to do. And so he was honest. He says, you know, in my heart, I was hoping the person I sat next to just wanted to sleep because I had a lot of work to do. But the man asks, so what do you do? He said, I'm a pastor. He says, you know, I've been wanting to know how to have a relationship with God. So MacArthur spent the rest of the flight talking to him about God and the relationship. You know, sometimes God intervenes. Sometimes we just can't ignore people. We find that there are some who initially reject. Don't give up on them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Love them. But friends, spend more time with those who are receptive, who you can mentor, who you can love, who you can disciple, who you can encourage. We're called to go. We're called to make disciples. And in making disciples, we need to go. You know, a lot of times we do a lot of work. Churches do a lot of work to get people to come to them. We're called to go out in the neighborhood. We're called to go out in the workforce. We're called to go out in the community. We're called to go out into the highways and byways. We're called to reach out to people. We're called to find them where they are. We're not called for them just to come and see us. No, we're called to go out to them. So in following Jesus, friends, it's about trusting God to use us to bring people to repentance. Let me ask you this. How many people are you praying for? Just a couple of people to pray for as we think about this idea of going. We can't neglect one another. Continue to pray for Rebecca. She tore her ACL and MCL, and they want her to go to therapy and not surgery at this point. So pray for her. Continue to pray for my brother Robert as he waits for a liver. Pray for Sylvia's sister Pat, broken wrist. Pray for Mary's goddaughter's baby who has Down syndrome and a heart murmur, and they're going to be doing surgery. Please pray for these people. As we go along, we can't leave our own wounded lane on the side. We need to pick them up as we're going down the road in ministry. Pray for others who you might know, for Catalina, for Jess, Gantua. Pray for them as God continues to comfort them in their twilight years. Pray for Dominic. He's going to be having a procedure this week, honey? The 28th. He'll be having a heart procedure to check out his heart and see what else they can do for him as he continues to faithfully walk with the Lord. Pray for these people. Let me ask you a question. If you had the cure for cancer and your family member had cancer, to what lengths would you go? You were the only one able to give them this treatment. How far would you go? To what lengths would you stop to get there? Wouldn't you be like, no cost? No, nothing will stop me. I will get there. By train, by car, by plane, by bicycle. Even if I have to walk, I'm going to get this cure to them, right? Well, we have the cure for sin. It's called the gospel. But we're like that young romantic. I'll climb the highest mountain. I'll swim the deepest ocean. I'll cross the deepest valley. But if it rains on Tuesday, babe, I won't be by. Is that us when it comes to the gospel? I have a new prayer request for my brother. His neighbor's selling their house. I'm praying that a good Christian family will move in right next door. Somebody with a good gospel witness will be there next door to my brother and my sister-in-law. Friends, every believer has been called to go, take the gospel to make disciples, some near, some far. Trust the Lord to use you. Ain't nothing more exciting than to lead somebody to Christ. But maybe today you're the one that needs Christ. We call, we challenge you, we urge you, we beseech you to consider the claims of Christ and seek His forgiveness. Father, this morning we thank You for Your goodness, for providing for our needs, for giving us your word that reveals to us your will for our lives. Guide and direct us as we discuss the finances of the church. We thank you for your generosity. We thank you for your provision. Father, we thank you, Father, for the lean years, and Father, we thank you for the plentiful years, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.